Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2, episode, is this 139?
139.
One day I'm going to remember what episode we're on. Episode 139, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. Last night, I put the finishing touches on a temp voiceover and temp music for the documentary.
Nice.
It out to you guys. So, you know, I feel good, man. Like, I watched it over now that it has, like, a full treatment on it, essentially. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's engaging, and it's, I mean, like, obviously, I'm probably, you know, I'm talking it up. I made the fucking, you know, we made the fucking thing. So, like,
like, yo, this shit is fire. Yeah.
But it's a, it's definitely it moves, which that's what I worried about the most when I was editing mm-hmm. was like, oh, I don't want to sit on something too long. Like, I want to make sure it make this feel like it flows.
Right.
And I feel like it does. Like, I watched it with the, you know, with the music and the voiceover, and it sounds good. I mean, it's weird because it's me talking as if I'm Raj.
Right, from his perspective.
Yes. So it's a little weird, but it's good. And like, I had fun like picking out music and placing that stuff in. You know, I put a little hidden gems in there for like you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I can do whatever the hell I wanted to do with it, because it's like, you know, it's all temp shit anyway, so no one's ever gonna, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. No one can sue us for using their music.
Right, it's like the demo.
Yeah, exactly.
This shit, like, is really exciting. I can't talk about, like, the full thing because it's not...
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's not done, but I had a dope call with a dope company this week, and it's looking like I'm going to be doing some, like, hip-hop documentary content for them.
Yes, yeah.
And this is, like, this is exactly what we wanted to get into.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's, like, it seems like on all fronts... the stuff is coming, the game is coming to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I really appreciate. And it's like, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we weren't, you know, doing what we're doing. And maybe, like, we were doing this podcast, but the hope and the ambition that we had, is cool to see some of that stuff kind of trickling in.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I remember we would sit there and like brainstorm ideas for 2 hours before we'd even record sometimes at your crib. Like, we would sit there and be like, yo, man, why don't we do something like this? Or why isn't, you know, we wouldn't even do it in a sense of like, why aren't we doing it? We'd be like, yo, why isn't someone, you know, such and such place doing this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, you know, we, you know, after a few of those talks, it became like, why the fuck we ain't doing it? And yeah. Like, oh, they should let us do it. And then it became, oh, we're going to just go do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's cool to see.
Yeah. Like, I even edited together a little video for our homie Just.
Hey,
Deck
shout 4. Out
Just. Yeah. Deck 4's new single that he's working on with one of our other homies, too. He's working with Vega. So, which is dope.
Did Vega make that beat?
Yeah. Vega made that beat.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Yeah
I fuck with that shit.
So, I threw together just like, just on a whim, like he hit me up like, yo, do you think like this idea for this video would be cool just for something, just a, like a little promotional video? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I would I'll get, you know, I you think this, you know, the guy would be able to do this? I was like, I could do it, just send it over to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do it right now. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And so I was able to sit and do that, and like, I posted about it, and it was just like, it's the idea that being like, oh, this is what we're gonna do now for what we mm-hmm. this is what I do for a living now.
It's exciting because I try to hold on to like the feeling of like childhood, like being playful and creative, and like it's, you know, as you get older, like that spark kind of leaves you, you know what I mean? But like when I'm sitting down like obsessing about music and writing about it, or like making music or working on, you know, like this film stuff, which is music related, it makes me feel that same whatever like creative rush that I used to get as a kid. And I'm grateful that life is kind of made a way to where is like my work gives me that same feeling. It's incredibly fulfilling, and it's exciting to know that we're going to be doing shit on like a deeper, grander scale.
Absolutely. I get that same feeling I used to get when we were kids, and like, you know, you'd spit a dope rhyme at, you know, third period lunch. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, we were all like, all right, well, I'm going to fourth period. I'll see you at fifth period lunch. Right. And like, I'd go and write a rhyme in fourth period and be like, yo, I can't wait for like y'all to hear this. Or like be at home that night and like writing something like, yo, I can't wait to spit this for them when we get to school tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
You know, working on this kind of stuff is the same feel. Like, dude, as soon as I finish that video, I hit you guys up like, yo, is it cool if I send this over to you guys to check it out? Like, it's that same feeling. Like you said, it's dope to be able to work to do something like that as a for a living. Like to be like, oh, to get that same feeling where I was like when I was a kid and had that creative outlet. It's like, oh, that's the same way I feel now. And I'm going to do this to make money. That's fucking love.
Right. Yeah. I don't want any other kind of career, any other kind of work. You know what I mean? Like this shit, whereas I get to stay connected with like the culture that we came up in. I get to, in my own way, like educate people on the culture and learn myself. Like this is cool adult life. I didn't think when I was in my 20s, yo, like I didn't have really a sense of direction. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know what life was gonna be like, or you know, how I was gonna take care of myself or fulfill myself. And I just didn't have the vision for the shit. And it caused me incredible pain to not know where you're going.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, but now I feel so sure of where I'm going. It's a fucking beautiful thing that I'm like, and just like talking with you about this now, I'm like feeling it. It's like something that I'm really grateful for, because I remember a time in life where I didn't have it at all.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, I talked with you about this earlier before we recorded, even in a sense of like with my depression, like, you know, me and you had talked when I was working my old job, and the job I fucking hated, the 9-to-5 bullshit, like I was depressed, like heavily. A large part of it was like, where am I going? Like, what is my life like right now? Like, and where does it go? Like, is it this for the next 25, 30 years until I can get this, until I can get Social Security? Mm-hmm. Like, is this what my life is? Because like, if that's what it is, it sucks. Like, you know what I mean? And like even like the other day, I was feeling like shit, dude, like just feeling down. And I think it was like some creative frustrations and then just, you know, just everyday shit, man. And like being able to do something afterwards that was like creative made me feel good. And like getting some good news through, like, even just like, you know, you got some good news and like I was happy for you.
Right.
That made me feel good, where I'm like, oh, like, you know, my friends are prospering and like I'm working on creative shit. Like, you know, and it helped me just work through something where like my old job would have, I'd been like, yo, I'm here for the next 12 hours on overnight shift. I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
You know, where like I didn't have that anymore. It was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go add some music to this documentary that I'm working on. Like, and that feels really good.
Right. Having that purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's a really underrated feeling in the society that we live in. Like, it's you know, people want it and people know that it's important, but like really like having it and seeing it and like feeling it is incredible. I did, speaking of like filmmaking, I did want to talk about well, you brought it up first, but I just watched it. Spike Lee's new film is like so much going on, which, you know, it's like a common Spike Lee thing.
Exactly.
So yeah, let's hop out for a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Word.
Boom. So yeah, we over the weekend we watched Spike Lee, The Five Bloods.
Yeah.
This new joint that he has out.
I appreciate it for spelling duh, D-A, The Five Bloods. There you go.
Remember when like Boot Camp Click and all of it, like Boot Camp Click misspelled everything?
Yeah.
Like they spell recognize W-R-C-K. Everything was misspelled. Everything has Z's on the end of it.
Yeah, now no one uses vowels at all.
Now, that's such like a fucking hipster thing. Niggas, when like the MySpace era was like weaning down, every like underground hip hop record or like beat tape had no vowels to it. It's just like the wave that niggas was on. But yeah, Spike Lee. Did this just come out Friday or?
Yeah, Friday.
It just dropped Friday. The Five Bloods. It's about four guys who it was a whole team of five that were in the Vietnam War. Spoiler, you know.
Yeah, spoilers.
If you listen to it, you haven't seen it yet. Five guys were in Vietnam. One guy dies, Chadwick Boseman. Mm-hmm. He gets killed. And the four of them, decades later, come back because they left gold in them thar Vietnamese hills. You know what I mean? And they go on this whole wacky adventure. This shit surprised me because it's real. The beginning is like the opening is like really playful where they're in the bar in Vietnam and they're playing like Marvin Gaye, Got to Give It Up. And they're like bopping through the crowd and shit. But like toward the like middle-ish end of this shit, it gets mad bloody and crazy.
Yeah.
Dog. I wasn't expecting, like you saw in the beginning, like with the flashbacks to the war and people were dying. I this shit was like, it was like random deaths that were happening that just fucked me up.
I loved how it was shot. Like there's aspect ratio changes. So it's widescreen when they're like in current day. And then every time they would go to a flashback, they'd cut to four to three. So they shrink the screen down. And they actually like, I don't know if they shot it on like 8mm, 35mm, or they just like threw a filter on because like you could do that kind of shit. But like that was all shot like so it looked like it was shot from back then. I appreciate the fact that he didn't even bother to like hire four other actors to play the young versions of like Delroy Lindo and Lester Freeman.
I beat that shit. Yo, with the first, cause like does it open with a flashback? Either way, the first flashback I saw, I was like, wait, they're the same niggas. It's just Chadwick Boseman with like four old guys in Vietnam.
Yeah. I was like, wow, they didn't even bother. Jake, not even like dyed their hair.
No.
Or like.
I feel like Spike has a little bit of that. I know he was influenced by like the French New Wave kind of thing. So he breaks up like the visual narrative a lot. He's like a playful filmmaker.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And part of it, to the fact that you saw in the flashbacks that like, yo, these are like the same old dudes from 2020 in this film. It's almost like a like an avant-garde choice.
Yeah,
that he would do that. You know what I mean?
They're like running around with beer guts in the.
None of y'all would have been fighting in Vietnam. Looking like y'all look. I enjoy. And he did it a lot in the She's Gotta Have It series as well. Spike Lee does this thing in his films now that he alternates between live action film
and still photos.
Photograph and like still shots. I love that shit. You know what I mean? Like there's one scene where they're walking through the jungle. They just found the gold and they've got like heavy backpacks full of like gold bars on their backs and they're walking and the one brother's taking pictures and then they just show the entire frame of the film, whatever picture he
showed,
or whatever picture he just took. So it's like a bird in the air. You know what I mean? That shit's so beautiful. And I love that he did it, how he did it in She's Gotta Have It. Because it was really another, I felt like, playful, like avant-garde choice where you're just seeing pictures, just still shots. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, I've heard different as far as like reception to this thing. I've heard some people say, yo, this is one of Spike Lee's best things. Like I looked up a list of Spike Lee's best like top 15 films.
Uh-huh.
I looked it up last night and this was like number 9 or something. And it just came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've heard people really like it, and then I've heard other people be like, yo, this shit is trash. It's a weird, conflicted reception to this film.
Yeah, Spike didn't write this. Mm-hmm. He only directed it. I guess like he produced it. But so I honestly think there's script issues. There's one part like when they're at that temple and they're preparing for the shootout, like that French chick just watched like one of her friends get exploded and she's like laughing like with the dude, and I'm just like, that totally just doesn't feel like it would be how you would be reacting to this situation.
Right. She was sad for like a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like all good.
Yeah, so I think there's some like tonal things in there that I mean, like that could be scripting issues. I will say this, it's probably one of the most beautiful things he's ever shot.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautifully shot movie. Like, and that's a lot of like directing. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Finding these beautiful shots. There may or may not be one of those still picture, still frame shots in the documentary that we're working on.
Hey.
But no, I applaud him in a sense, because like, you know, listen, a Spike Lee movie, when you watch it, has certain things to it. Like, you know what I mean? And I respect him so much for doing, like, being brave enough to do those things. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I'd be brave enough as a filmmaker sometimes to break from norms that he does.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of, like, bravery to do those kind of things. And he's always done it. Like, you know what I mean? His first film is that. Like, so...
From the gate.
Yeah.
You know? The original She's Gotta Have It is completely in black and white, except for the scene in the park where the couple is dancing, and that shit's in like fucking Technicolor, and then it goes right back to black and white like it was nothing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Stuff like that is what I mean when I say like avant-garde and like playful experimental filmmaking.
Yeah. And he does a lot of that in this. There's a lot of like, and I like there, the, you know, Delroy Lindo's character. First of all, Delroy Lindo, give that man an Oscar.
And he's been a beast
for
a long time.
He's an unsung hero, dog, for real, for real. He's been great in like everything for a long time.
Him, he plays like the Caribbean gangster in Malcolm X.
Yep.
He's so like so when he's young, he's like, like you could tell he's a genius. Even like Malcolm says it in the films, he's like, West Indian Archie could have been a mathematical genius. He's like smart and like, but also like fearsome. And then as he gets older, I think he has a stroke and him and Denzel have that scene where he comes in the apartment and Denzel's like helping him work out his arm because his arm don't work. So that shit is, this shit'll make you cry. You know what I mean? And he has moments like that in this film too, where he really shows you he know how to tap into that emotional thing, that like reservoir of emotion that great actors can do. I agree 100%. Give him an Oscar for this shit.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing in this. They'll probably try and give him like best supporting because this is an ensemble cast. But he's fucking amazing in this, man.
He needs some hardware behind this.
Yeah, when he like walks off in the woods toward the end by himself and he's like, he's crying but angry and like, it's fucking masterful performance, dude. Like, he's amazing in this. When he's sitting in there, like, that's when it kind of makes that tonal shift a little bit of like, oh, these dudes were just bopping through a club to now they're like sitting down having drinks. And he's like, yeah, you know, we need to build that wall. Keep these immigrants out.
He's a fucking Trump supporter. And at one point he pulls out that when he disowns his son. His son was the brother Jonathan Majors, who was in Last Black Man in San Francisco. Delroy Lindo like disowns his son. They get into the, like this whole big fight, and he leaves the rest of his crew. But before he leaves, he pulls out the MAGA hat.
And
I was like, yo, you brought the hat to Vietnam? Fucking crazy, yo. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I think there's some really good stuff in there. Like I said, I think there's some script issues with the story, I think, overall. But it's good. I think it's a really good movie. Beautifully shot, dude. I really can't get over how gorgeous it is.
It made me want to, like, I remember I was watching it with Liz, and I was like, yo, I would go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah. You know, part of it, like, I'm watching it, like, there's a part where they, like, go off to go find the gold, and, like, they're sleeping, like, using a rock as a pillow, and I'm like, fuck, that's why I don't camp, dog. Like, there's no, that shit looks miserable.
You getting, like, Lyme disease and shit out there?
Yeah. But, no, because there's one point where they're, like, going down the river, and the one dude, like, flips up water in his hand, and I'm like, dude, you put your hand in that water? Like, what? You don't know what's floating around in there. Like, I'm like that in like a creek that's like, you know, like Petty Pack Creek or something. Like, I don't know what's in that water. It's a fun movie in some senses. Like, you know, there's some decent. I was surprised how much action there was, because there isn't much really through like two thirds, maybe three quarters of the movie.
Yeah, it gets buck wild at the end.
Yeah, it amps up a lot at the end. It's a little long. It's like 2.5 hours.
I did, and I've heard that criticism from folks too. I did feel like the midsection of it, they could have edited it down.
Absolutely.
Obviously, like, Spike's a master. He know what the fuck he doing.
You know what I mean?
But like, who the fuck am I to? Long to me
Who am I to tell like Spike to edit? But like, there's parts of it where I'm like, well, we kind of went over this already.
You know
what I mean? Like, he disowns his son like three times in the
And he explains it a couple times, like, oh, you know, my mom, like I feel you.
Yeah, so there's certain parts like that. There's cool stuff. Like, again, one of the things I posted this the other day. One of the cool things I've since like editing a documentary, one of the cool things is watching shit now is seeing the seams and everything. Of like, oh, like, yo, that's cool. He used this kind of dissolve. He used this, like, there's one part where he uses a divide that's like a top bottom divide where it just like it starts with an all black screen and it slowly opens to like show you this beautiful fucking scene. And I'm like, that it makes it so much more powerful when you do that. Like, you know what I mean? So certain shit like that, like, I can really appreciate that. You know, I might have saw that and be like, oh, that was cool. But now I'm like, oh, like, I know why he did that.
Right. Yeah, he's a living master.
Yes, absolutely.
At this shit, at this point. It made me think about my, like, 10 favorite Spike Lee films. And it was hard, you know, like it was really, I didn't like post it anywhere. I just did it like for myself to think about, but it was difficult. And it wasn't, there were like certain films like Girl Six, Jungle Fever, like films that I loved, Four Little Girls, that I was like, damn, I can't put them Jones in here.
Yeah.
It's too much. The list is already too top heavy. Like 25th Hour is one of my favorite Spike Lee films.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you don't even hear that much about it.
Nah.
And it's an incredible movie.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would say maybe it's his most beautiful movie before this one. Like some of those shots in the club, the lighting, like it's just fucking gorgeous, man.
And that shit, it came out 2001. Yeah, I was about to say
a long time ago. Yeah.
That shit, like, I'm sure you could put it on right now and it look like it pops visually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Certain shit that was shot in the early 2000s, we were kind of making the transition, or we had made the transition from, you know, film, shooting on film to like strictly digital.
Yeah.
And a lot of that shit don't hold up. Like we watch a lot of reality TV, like early aughts reality TV, and some of that shit look like bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. 25th Hour holds up beautifully visually.
Yeah.
It did, at least the last time I watched it, which was probably 2 years ago, the shit looked good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this may be even more beautifully shot. And part of that is just like the surroundings he has, whether they went to Vietnam to shoot this or not, which I'm not sure. It looks like it. At least part of it, it definitely looks like they went to, you know, at least some kind of Asian country where they went and they could shoot and passably make it look like Vietnam.
Right.
But it's beautiful. Like some of the fucking scenes are just gorgeous, like the background. And like so much of that makes a difference because it makes what's in front of you, like center camera, pop even more.
Right.
And that's important when you're doing that kind of stuff. And like, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes he may have been handed that script and been like, yeah, there's some like weak shit in here. I'm going to have to like prop it up visually and make it even more interesting.
Yeah.
I think some of the stuff at the end with like him, his dad, here's like a couple scripts that I looked at and was like, why did they wait till they were all like 70 to go to fucking back to Vietnam to go do this?
They even allude to it. They're like, when they find Chadwick Boseman's remains, they're like, you know, it took us a little longer than we thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, dog, y'all was there in 1971.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's 50 years ago.
Yeah, why'd you take so long to get back? Whatever. Okay, like, you know, whatever. Like, but something like that, it's like one line said by one of the guys could have, like, helped that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
maybe we had a falling out.
Exactly.
Couldn't get the whole crew together. I know at one point, my man, dude, he said, I think it was him. It was either him or the character Otis said that a mudslide had kind of revealed part of the countryside.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that was them being like, oh, you know, we couldn't have gone back because it was buried under all of this.
That's
like,
true.
Rubbish,
you know what? I think that's right, because I think he says like all our landmarks were gone.
Right.
So yeah, that's probably true. I totally forgot about that. But again, like maybe you rehash that at some point to like nail that in for somebody like me who completely fucking forgot about that. So you just mentioned it. And then there was just like, there's certain stuff with like the stuff with the Lester Freeman from The Wire and the former prostitute chick who has his kid. Like, the very end, like, he's just like, she's like, oh, I love you, Dad. And he's like, I love you too. And it's like, that just doesn't even fit because, like, you guys don't know each other at all. And,
right.
Like, you could make that be more conflicted a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't love the stuff. I understand why it was in there, but the, like, younger white characters who were part of the, I guess, nonprofit that was, removing landmines. I didn't love any of their any of their sections.
Nah, not at all. And I like the one dude, the chunky dude with the glasses. I like him. I've seen him and stuff, and he's good and stuff. But he didn't really have anything to do. Like, you know what I mean?
No. When they were in the temple and they knew that folks were coming for them, they're like, you know, doing their plan, and they're like, all right, you get a gun. You get homeboy just...
Yeah.
He like hid behind a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
While all the shooting happened. And then he walks out just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in this movie too. Like, that, I didn't love that part either.
Yeah, nah. I mean, there's certain stuff like that, but like, you know, it is what it is. But no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And shout out to Rhythm, because Rhythm posted like, yeah, she's waiting to hear about the Five Bloods joint. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me too, because like lately Spike Lee can be a little hit or miss sometimes. And I was like,
right,
let me wait until I hear something. But I think a lot of this, because there's flaws to it, I think a lot of this falls squarely in the lap of like the bravery of Spike Lee as a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think that, like, I honestly think that that helps so much for this.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we're gonna chat about Dave Chappelle, also another master of American art and culture, dropped a new stand-up special.
Yes.
8:46. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're gonna jump into a quick break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about that as well. Boom. So this week has been like it's been lit with you know, I know folks hate the word content, but we, you know, we've been getting blessings, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Netflix hit hard. Netflix was dropping bombs.
Yeah, yo, I've been watching the whole quarantine. I've been watching BET Plus. This shit made me, the Spike Lee shit made me jump back on Netflix. You know what I mean? But Dave Chappelle also dropped a new stand-up special. It ain't really comedy.
I was about to say, I don't know how much stand-up really, aside from like, and he doesn't even really stand up that much. He kind of sits on that stool for most of it.
Right. He's like yelling at America.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a righteous anger.
Yes.
8:46. This is interesting to me. It's a direct response to the murder of George Floyd and, you know, another 500 years of black folks being terrorized by white supremacy globally. But Chappelle, it feels like he really just let out, you know, all of this righteous anger that was inside of him.
Yeah. It was like a lecturing from Dave Chappelle to America.
Right. Right.
And there's some really honest and like, you can feel brokenheartedness in certain aspects of it. Like he says, like, you know, they kneeled on him for 8:46. He was like, that's my birth. That's when I was born. 8:46 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you could feel like the connections he makes, you know what I mean? And like, it's another part where he mentions something and it's like, that's my birthday. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And for, I'm sure, for plenty of black people in this country, like, there's an aspect of like, yeah, that isn't my face, but that is me. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like so many different arenas, you know what I mean?
I think part of what, I think there's a multiple number of factors, and we talked about them on episodes prior to this. I think what really galvanized these protests, you know, in response to George Floyd's murder, and then was galvanizing like this Chappelle special and all of this rage. It's like the arbitrary cruelty of the crime committed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like a struggle with a gun and somebody, you know, getting shot. Even a home invasion, you know, these police, how they killed the young lady, Breonna Taylor, like come in their crib and like just start shooting the same way they killed Fred Hampton, you know, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. This shit, though, the fact that homeboy kneeled on his neck and rested there,
yeah,
with his hands in his pocket, it's just, I think a lot of people are seeing this and they're thinking like, yo, they could snuff me out in that same way, just arbitrary, not even, you know, not even no sweat involved, and just lean on me and suffocate me to death. And it's not even a guarantee that they'll lose their job.
Absolutely.
For doing it.
No, there was, I heard somebody else say this, essentially it's a snuff film.
Yes.
Like it's a snuff film.
I still haven't watched
it. Me neither. And like, I felt Dave when he said that. He was like, you know, for a while I saw the picture and like I was like, I didn't need to watch the video. And like, mm-hmm. I still haven't. I've made that choice a while ago to like, I can't keep watching extrajudicial killings on fucking like social media feeds. Like I just can't, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like
one
was more than enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't need to continuously see it. That doesn't mean I'm ignorant to what's going on. I don't need to see it all the time. It's too much. It's fucking too much to watch.
I can't think of what year that was. The last one I watched, I want to say it was 2013. Somebody had just, it might have been after they executed Troy Davis. Like one thing had happened.
Uh-huh.
It might have been Troy Davis. It might have been when Trayvon Martin had got killed. So it might have been like 2013, 2012 or 2013. One thing had happened at the top of that week. And then by like that Friday, there was a video of a homeless man in L.A.
I remember
and
this.
The cops just ran up on him and lit him up for nothing. And because he was probably having like a psychotic break.
Absolutely.
Or something. Or he was just outside because he don't got no fucking place to live. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they ran up on him and they laid him out. And I was like, you know what? I'm never watching this shit again.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Philando Castile. I was like, I'm not watching this shit. I didn't watch the Nipsey shit.
Yeah, no,
because that was floating around. I was like, I'm not looking at this shit no more because this shit is traumatizing us and re-traumatizing us. And it's I'm an active dreamer anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I dreamt the shit. I was in Vietnam. Now that we're talking about the Five Bloods, I watched that shit and went to sleep. And the dream I had was the remember they were in the market with the river in it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That shit was in my dream. I was laying in that water. So my psyche responds to stuff. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm not watching this shit no more. And, you know, there's issues with Dave Chappelle. I think Dave Chappelle said a lot of, like, really fucked up and dismissive things towards trans people.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope that backlash that he caught, not like in a like bullies him into like having the right position.
Yeah.
But I hope that he listened.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Shit. Absolutely.
Because he's valuable.
Uh-huh.
Like his genius is valuable. And I hate that he's not connecting with the full community.
Uh-huh.
Because he thinks being gay and trans is funny or weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the hope that I he didn't speak nothing about, you know, that stuff. But, you know, sometimes smart motherfuckers are hard. It's hard to convince them that they're being dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're good at figuring things out. So it's hard to tell a smart motherfucker. They don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the feeling that I get from him. But this piece in particular that he put out, you know, it was good and it was necessary and it was righteous.
Yeah, I think sometimes too it comes down to the idea of like the message is more important than the messenger.
Right.
And like what he's saying is extremely important to hear. And, you know, like you said, he has issues and there's shit that he does need to like work on. Like we all do, but I mean, there's shit that he needs to work on, and but what he is saying is extremely important, even if it's just to hear the anger, and because it's not just anger, man, like it's pain, like you know what I mean. And I think that's what, you know, he talked about this during it, and that's what's true too. He's like, the fucking streets are talking. Why do I need to talk?
Right, that was like the line of the night.
Yeah,
like when he said the streets is talking. Like, why do they need to hear from me or Ja Rule?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think that goes down to what me and you, we actually planned on talking about 2 weeks ago, and we never actually got around to when you mentioned like there was a thing about like what Lil Wayne said, and like you were like, yo, I want to bring up the fact that like maybe we should just stop talking to people like Lil Wayne, like you know what I mean.
Right.
And yeah, like, yo, why do you need to hear from a celebrity? Like, look what people are talking to you right now. Like, there's a fucking message going on in the street right fucking now.
Yeah. People who've been organizing this shit, people have been working on this shit. There are a lot of people who this month have just been introduced to the concept of abolishing police.
Absolutely.
Abolishing prisons. There are valuable voices that have been working on this shit for decades.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's push them up to the front and talk to them.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean? And hear what this shit is about.
I don't, you know, maybe Ja Rule doesn't have a great thought out version of why we should defund the police. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's a good,
you know what I mean?
There's a good chance.
Which is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. There's tons of shit that niggas shouldn't ask me about. You know what I mean? I have very particular areas of knowledge and expertise, and that's fine. I love the fact that other motherfuckers know shit that I don't know. It mean that we as a collective are figuring this shit out. But when we, I understand the call for celebrities to say something. You know what I mean? Because like, we're invested in these people. I this is like the silliest thing in the world. Sarah Michelle Gellar, who played Buffy the Vampire Slayer, threw up like a Black Lives Matter joint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On her Instagram. Like, we don't need that. You know what I mean? But niggas is emotionally invested in this person's work.
Yes.
It's cool to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I understand why people get so upset when celebrities don't say nothing, or when they say the wrong thing, or when they come out and they righteous and they on point with the people. It make you feel good, you know what I mean? So I get it, but they don't need to be the center of this conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? The people who, the victims of this shit, obviously, the communities that have been victimized by this shit, and the people who've been organizing, theorizing, strategizing around this shit, this is their time. And I think that's what Chappelle was saying. He's like, the streets is hashing this out. The people are talking.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need my take on it.
No, and you know what? He took his time and put out his thoughts when he collected them.
Right. That's another thing. We don't give motherfuckers time.
Yeah. Everybody wants an immediate reaction from people. And it's like, you know, some people, listen, man, people internalize shit and deal with shit differently. Like, you know what I mean? I think, you know, the idea of like silence is compliance and shit like that, like there's value in that, like, you know what I mean? There is value in like, but I'm not always looking to, you know, celebrities for that, or, you know, I'm looking at people who are supposedly supposed to be leading in these situations, and they're, you know, quote unquote, our politicians or whatever, and they're just like, yeah, you know, maybe we should give more money to the police. It's like, no, you're not fucking listening, dude. Like, you know what I mean? We're talking about defunding the police, not give the police $300 billion or whatever.
Right. Right.
Like, you know what? Maybe you should have stayed silent because the fuck you just said, you know what I mean? And I think that sometimes, you know, immediate reaction isn't something you always need. I rather see sometimes have somebody, you know, give me their collected thoughts.
Yeah, a measured, not even just measured, but just like a thought that you took time to sit with and develop.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's important. It's important. And I think, you know, it was a lot of righteous anger and pain in 846. And, you know, I think it was important. And it's in a, it's an important mark. And like you said, like, you know, he has a lot of issues. Dave does have issues, right? But, you know, to deny the genius he's put out in the past would be to say, like, you know, there's a reason why he won the Mark Twain Award, right? So, you know, he's put out some fucking next level shit. And yeah.
He's absolutely, like, gonna, like, go down as one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, already. He could live to be, you know, 90 years old or not. And is, you know, he's like already stamped.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think there's a big value in that. In the idea that, like, you know, you wanted it and he gave you his collected thoughts on it. You know what I mean? And to have, like, you know, even though there's still protests going on and that kind of shit, but, like, you know, now we're 2 weeks removed from the initial, like, bombardment of everything. And there's still righteous fucking anger. And, like, what I want to see too, and so I thought about tweeting this out, and I didn't. But, like, I hope people realize, you know, we're not just going to, like, shut up because you took down a couple statues and, like, you know, you passed fucking Breonna's law, and you still haven't arrested her killers, but you passed Breonna's law.
So crazy.
I think it's a situation of, like, you know, we're not just going to let this shit go. Like, this isn't going to be something we let just go away.
No. This shit is like changing the we've talked about this before, like, the conversation is different.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's important that we you know, people know, like, yo, listen, this isn't going away. We're gonna be on that ass about this shit, making real decisions. Like, I saw, like, just a reaction I saw from people toward, like, what's going on here in Philly with the, you know, there was the budgetary meetings, and, like, they got, you know, 3,000 emails about people wanting to be able to make their voice heard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit is important.
Yeah. It seems like a brother got shot over the weekend. He was running away in Atlanta. He was running away. The police shot him in the back. His babies was in the car. His lady was there, and they killed this man. Immediately, the Wendy's where they were in the parking lot where he got shot got burnt up.
Yeah.
Last night. You know what I mean? I feel like people, you know how they say, like, you can't let a bully you. You know, you got to stand up to them.
Uh-huh.
I feel like people are really building that capacity to be like, no, you know, you can't arbitrarily kill people in our community or in anybody else's community without a response.
Yep.
And the response is growing more militant. You know what I mean? And that's not like on some like glorifying violence type shit. It's on some, we in this country have to renegotiate our relationship to policing.
Yeah.
This shit is flagrant at this point. You know what I mean? This shit is flagrant. You have police chief, I think it's in New York, the police chief made that bullshit speech about, we have 70 million interactions and only a few people get killed. And somebody made a good point. They was like, yo, imagine if I'm a baker. And I say, yo, I baked 7 million cakes this year, and only 1,500 of them had cyanide in
it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, get the fuck out of here. There can't be this armed class of individuals who have a monopoly on violence, who are largely unaccountable. They have unions that protect them. They can't be allowed to roam around our neighborhoods doing whatever the fuck they want to do. That shit's over. And what we're seeing is, like I said, a renegotiation of that arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah. There has to be a renegotiation of that social contract.
Yeah. It
just has to
absolutely.
Be. Absolutely. We can't continue to operate that way. And, you know, one of the things I think, like, you know, like you said, there's the police sergeant or whatever, or a police commissioner or whatever in fucking New York is out there and he's, oh, I'm trying to, you know, we had, you know, don't call us thugs and animals, blah, blah, blah. Like, yo, y'all just drove, y'all just ran over protesters.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you Mason people, baby.
Yeah, like,
at a protest.
We watched that shit happen.
Right. Like, what else are you if not a thug and an animal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amadou Diallo, the other brother. I can't think of his name. The brother that the NYPD raped with a baton. We was kids when that happened. So how many other people, countless people, have they raped, maimed, killed, assaulted, traumatized in the 20 years or so since that shit happened?
They shoved a 75-year-old white man to the ground and walked over him while he's bleeding out his ears. That was on camera. Imagine what they're doing when it's not on camera.
Yep. Dog, and I'm hoping, I was thinking about this morning, and I posted about it earlier in the week. I really hope white people in this country start to internalize their relationship with the police, too.
Yeah.
Once, because, you know, a month ago, they let white people do whatever as far as, like, protesting.
Yeah.
When they was protesting to go get haircuts and tattoos and shit, you know what I mean, and go hang out at Applebee's. The police were like kittens with them.
Yep.
When they said, we will not allow you, we're not black, but we know how you treat black people, and we will not allow you to kill and beat and harass black people anymore. We're not going to be stand by and be complicit about that shit. They start beating and shooting at y'all too. And I hope that non-black people in this country realize that all of this inequality, all of this murder and theft, it's like your right and left foot. It stands on indigenous people's backs and on black people's backs.
Uh-huh.
And I hope that motherfuckers really realize, like, oh, we can't turn a blind eye to this shit because it hurts us too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I hate that George Floyd might have died for that. I'm not even gonna say that he died for that.
Yeah,
I hate that that's a result, a potential result from him dying. But we got to start thinking about this shit differently.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think that's something, you know, I was talking to a friend and you know, we were talking about the situation and he was like, yeah, but you know, once things like, you know, open up some more, people will go back to their regular lives and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but it's more about like, you know, the one out of every 10 people that actually just got radicalized because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to continue to carry the torch going forward. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And your hope is that, like, yeah, some more white folks were like, oh, shit, like, just because I supported Black Lives Matter, I got maced in the face.
Right.
Or
you said, yo, don't kill a person.
Yeah, exactly.
For no reason. A cop maced you for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're threatening to walk away. Oh, you know, you got a problem with what we're doing? We'll walk away.
Yeah.
Fucking go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it.
You mean you don't,
you know what I mean?
You don't want to support state sanctioned violence? Then, well, I'll just leave my job.
Please do.
Yeah, like,
please do.
Like, that's the wildest thing to me is that that's the reaction that these folks is having. Like, oh, well, mm-hmm. you mean I can't just beat people for mm-hmm. no reason?
That's why that good cop shit is bullshit for many reasons.
Yeah.
But if, you know, this would never happen, but me and you are coworkers. If somebody came out and said, yo, Josh has been wilding. He been shooting at us.
Yeah.
He been raping women. Josh been doing the worst fucking things. There's no way in my conscience where I could be like, oh, you don't rock with my man and you don't rock with me.
Yeah.
If the shit's true, because they know it's true.
Yeah, yeah,
they
exactly.
They see their fellow officers. There are probably cops. I know for a fact that there are cops that go out on the street and they're not wilding like these other cops are. Mm-hmm. But the fact that y'all can all fall behind the worst of the worst, it tells me that y'all are the worst too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's no way, you know, we've seen folks in, you know, like our local music community that were abusers and shit. These motherfuckers are pariahs.
Yeah, exactly. They got shunned.
We don't want to stand next to them. It's niggas. I ain't going to say the nigga name. It's a nigga right now. Listen to that. I'll say it. It's a nigga right now that's a pariah in our city. And the only shit that he do is with out of town niggas.
Yep.
And he walking around with a mask on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, if the police that were good police were actually good and were actually invested in humanity, they would ride on the other ones.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah,
they
no.
protect them.
And that's the thing. So,
yeah.
I guess we should start getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah. Let's chat. I don't have any albums. I just wanted to give a shout out to one song.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can talk about that.
Yeah, Lil Baby put out a record called The Bigger Picture. You know what I mean? And it's like, in a way, in the same way that All Right was kind of taken up as an anthem around like the Ferguson and like the Mike Brown protests, this is looking like it's going to be the song for this moment,
yeah,
for the George Floyd protest. So yeah, like big up to him. You know what I mean? It's a dope record. He's like spitting on it, really like heartfelt. You know what I mean? And talking about this whole thing of, you know, police brutality and not taking it anymore, resisting to this shit, which is really what we need in music right now. So like, I just wanted to big him up. It's called The Bigger Picture. It's by Lil Baby, and it's like a dope record.
Yeah, it is. I saw that you threw it on the list, and I hadn't listened to it. And then just a little while ago, before we were recording, I had to take my son somewhere, and he asked me, he was like, oh, did you hear Lil Baby's Bigger Picture yet? And I was like, mm-hmm. No, I didn't. He was like, oh man, it's dope. He's talking about what's going on and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, all right, I gotta check this joint out. Cause I mean, like, as just seeing the name, it's like, who knows what that means? Like, you know what I mean? I didn't know if it was an album or anything. Right. So he said like, oh yeah, he dropped it. And he was like, it's really good, man. He's like talking about like voting and stuff like that too on there. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna check it out. Like, it had my mm-hmm. son amped enough to be like, yo, say something to dad about it. I was like, oh, I gotta check it out. And I already saw you put it up there. So I was like, oh yeah. I was like, and I mentioned it to my son, like, oh yeah. I was like, no, but John put it on the list for what we're gonna talk about for the podcast. So I'll check it out before we record. But it's a dope song. It actually made me go like, you know what? I should go listen to some more Lil Baby stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like, he was the bad baby as far as like, I had the baby.
Right.
I was like, you know, I can only listen to so many dudes named, you know, baby in a name. So
right.
I'm going to start, you know, but nah, this dude, this joint is actually dope. So I'm going to go check it out. Check out some more of his stuff, but this song is actually dope. The beat's real dope too. So I checked out the dude Rumor.
Okay.
He's the cat that had that like viral record that's like a country record, but like mm-hmm. it's him and his homies like dancing around the hood with like with like AK-47s.
Got the ladders and shit.
So I checked out that. I didn't know that was him at first. I saw it pop up and I'm like, why is this the lead record in titles like new releases? Because I didn't know that was, I thought that was a joke. When I first saw that, I thought this was, oh, this is like some TikTok type shit or some shit.
Right.
I thought that was kind of, but you know what? I thought Moo by Doja Cat was a joke too. So, you know.
Right. Right.
So I checked that joint out, and it has some highlights. Mm-hmm. The joint with him and West Side Gunn is really dope.
Oh shit!
Yeah. There's a joint with him and Future and Lil Baby, and that joint's mm-hmm. dope. And then there's a joint, I think it's called like Never Coming Back or something like that, about like him and a chick or whatever. Actually really good. Okay. I think he's kind of like not final. You know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of The Weeknd's first joint, that like triple mixtape thing that he released, mm-hmm. where you're yeah. listening and you're like, oh, this is really good. This is, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, he hasn't reached final form yet.
Mm, word.
What I worry about is he's a super product of like music industry shit.
Mm, in what way?
I was reading an article because like I pulled it up. I was like, who is it? So I pulled up the name and there's an article that popped up and it was like, that video that he first did, that's like mm-hmm. like the country music joint, like it got text message to like every music reporter around or some shit like that.
Oh shit.
And yeah. like his,
so there's a machine there.
Yeah, his manager is like one of the biggest managers in music, and like, so part of me went like, I wonder how much of like this is like industry like prop type shit. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. I don't mean to cut you off. You know, it's the shit that was like that bugged me out. Remember the whipping and nae-nae shit?
Yeah.
Dog, I thought that was something that kind of like organically, this is gonna sound corny, but like organically like came out of the community.
Yeah.
Dog, like Madonna, somebody wrote a whole expose about it. Madonna, like a marketing company that Madonna owns a part of, manufactured that whole fucking sensation.
Yeah, and so I was like, and then like it's, oh, he's doing these like country ballads, but he's got a ski mask on and he's toting guns, and I'm like, mm-hmm. am I gonna find out this is some bullshit of like, you know what I mean? Like right. almost blackface type shit. Like I'm not right. gonna be happy. But I will say this: whoever dude is, he is talented. He can sing.
Yeah.
You know, I hate for it to come out that it is some kind of like just complete industry plant shit. Mm-hmm. But he is a super talented dude. He can sing his ass off. He kind of has like almost a Usher sound to him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Actually made me go like, I wonder if this is Usher. Like, remember when the Nas, the Eurodrug rumors were like, yo, it's Nas putting out. I was like, I wonder if this Usher putting out like some gangster shit. But no, I was like, he does have like, there's certain shit he kind of sounds like Usher, but not all the time.
Right.
But he kind of, he's like, his like most influential artists are like Drake and The Weeknd, mm-hmm. shit like that. So you definitely hear that. So it's dope. Check out. It's only 8 songs too. So like, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a dope to check out and just kind of like, it's like halfway decent. Like just some good shit on there. It definitely right. makes me go like, oh, I can't wait to see like what this dude's final form is as an artist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll never get it because it's like the industry is trying to shape him to what they want it to be type thing. Who knows? But mm-hmm. I would say check it out. People may like it more than I did. I dug it. I thought it was cool. I think there's like 4, maybe 5 tracks on there that are really, really good. But yeah, I would say check it out. It's called The Art of Dope Dealing is Dead or something like that. Hold on.
Yeah, it's Drug Dealing is a Lost Art.
Drug Dealing is a Lost Art, yeah.
Which is an insane title.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I would say check that out. But other than that, yo, you can catch us on Twitter at Serious Rap Shit and Instagram at Serious Rap Shit. Mm-hmm. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at @indi_srs. Mm-hmm. You're @John_liberator on Instagram and Twitter. And we will be back next week with some more fire for that ass.
Mm-hmm. Word.
Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.